You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Roy, you know what time it is?
What's that, Mike?
National Spotlight time. A massive clash in the
NBC Sportsnet
Central Division presented by Discover. We find out who's who. The Florida Panthers, the Ice Cats, against those dastardly Tampa Bay Lightning. God, I hate those guys. Oh, can't stand the Tampa Bay Lightning almost as much as I can't stand the Carolina Hurricanes. That's a discussion for another day, Roy. But today the nation finds out that we are hashtag one territory.
Yeah. I was looking at the schedule. Carolina plays Nashville tonight. So Nashville's in fourth place. That's good. They taking that spot over from Chicago. So couple of playoff
I like how we match up. If it gets I don't kind of feels with a recent dip in form, granted they won in overtime their last game, that was good to see. Kind of feels like with a recent dip in form we're going to be doing that 2-3 matchup in the Central Division presented by Discover. So who occupies that fourth slot may not be that important. However, if the Panthers do want a serious shot at winning the Central Division presented by Discover, they need a dub tonight against the reigning defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning.
The Panthers are third in that grouping because of games played. They played the most games out of the three, so they definitely need a win. It would be great if they got a win in regulation because that will be the main tiebreaker at the end of the season. I was watching the previous game where they won in overtime versus Dallas, and Anton Strahlman was a disaster. A disaster.
You're being kind, Roy. Too kind.
Yeah. First of all, he failed in the third period. Panthers came in with a lead. He failed to clear out on that tying goal. And then he almost own-goaled until Driga came in and
Wow, Driga with the save of the year. Yeah, save of the year. So I'm glad we're leading hour one with this conversation, Roy, because this is a national game tonight, and the nation finds out what hashtag one territory is all about. As much as I hate the Tampa Bay Lightning, I do respect those guys. This is going to be a tough one tonight, but the eyes of a nation descend upon the state of Florida's hottest and only hockey rivalry. I am jacked up for this one.
Gigantic game tonight.
Massive. I can't.
National televised.
Yeah, game. Everyone is talking about it. I tuned in to TSN, as I'm wont to do, on an illegal streaming service, and they led SportsCenter with an E at the end with it. Everyone's talking about this one, Dan. Your eyes are going to descend upon NBCSN.
I have not seen Roy smile this way at any time during the pandemic. His Florida Panthers, his mighty Florida Panthers, trying to overcome injuries with a recent rough patch with both injuries and losses, but winning in overtime against those dastardly, used-to-be Ken Hitchcock's Dallas Stars. Are they still a team that you say
you've got them as
you never want to piss them off?
Oh, you never want to piss them off. They were Western Conference champions. They made it to a Stanley Cup Finals just based off the size of the chip on their shoulders, Dan. But they're small time. They don't stack up against the likes of the Carolina Hurricanes and Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Ice Cats. You know, the elite of the Central Division presented by Discover.
Roy, you're on the cat wagon, even though Mike yells at me for calling it the cat wagon.
It's a bandwagon.
I see your giant smile. You cannot hide it. Are you going to be crushed? Are you going to be watching this game with like a fervor that you haven't felt in your pants in 20 years?
Well, I'm not going to be crushed. I mean, it's a two-game series. I mean, they lose tonight, go back out there and win the second game.
It's magic. Roy, real talk, it's magic for these rivalries to do doubleheaders the way that they are, because I hate Carolina and Tampa Bay so much just because I can't get them out of my lives for a week. They just plant themselves on one of my TVs on mute. But today, big screen TV treatment, being that it's on NBCSN. Dan, obviously the Florida Ice Cats were one of the more active teams at the deadline. What do you think is the most impactful trade they made?
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
They made a flurry of trades. And yeah. No, I'm not saying they acquired Marc-Andre Fleury. I kid. But they acquired, what, 7 new players? Now, Roy, every time they make an acquisition, while it seems you can make the argument on merit, this could help the team. However, they kind of are under the guise of helping the team, but they kind of look like salary cap dumps, Roy. Is this because there's an upcoming expansion draft?
Well, the Stillman trade was definitely a salary dump. But these trades, I wouldn't say are for the expansion draft. I would say this is for the playoffs. This is to build depth for the playoffs. Sam Bennett is a very good bottom six forward that will add a little defense to the forward lines. And Brandon Montour hopefully will take over for Anton Stroman.
Great name.
On the defensive end there. So I think that these trades will certainly help for the playoffs.
Oh, I cannot.
Ken Hitchcock has not been the Stars coach since 2001.
Mike was doing.
Yeah,
a thing.
I mean he's gone to St. Louis since then.
But Mike was doing. I said not Ken Hitchcock. That. Mike was doing a thing.
Oh, that's a fine there. I was doing a thing.
Was doing a thing.
Sugats, if you had been here, you would have known he was doing a thing. You got in there with your Ken Hitchcock, and there was
I was trying to close it out in a way that was funny, but I'm sorry I was not here. Mike told me to come back at 10, so I did.
Yes, you're late.
Sorry about that. Go, keep doing your thing. I'm going to...
No, the segment's over. It's been ruined. Adnan Virk is next.
It's going to transition, though. We're going to talk to a Canadian expert that... I'm sure the thing on the front of his mind, as it is across the Great White North, is tonight's Tampa Bay
Panthers-Lightning.
Florida Panthers game. 7 new players for the Ice Cats, potentially all in uniform tonight. A massive, massive clash among Florida's hockey titans. Adnan Virk is next.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
We were very excited earlier this week at Meadowlark Media for a number of different reasons. It put a big smile on my face. First of all, we broke news with Charles Barkley saying he was offered the Monday Night Football gig with a fake broadcaster, Jim Brockmeyer, who does a new podcast for the network. Check it out. It's very funny. New episode with Rich Eisen coming up around the corner. But also, Meadowlark Media's own Adnan Virk recently promoted through security to a paying job on the pirate ship, immediately parlays his new freedom into WWE voice out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming. It kept quiet. And all of a sudden, what happens? Adnan Virk is calling wrestling. So Meadowlark Media also gets a broadcaster who is very real doing a sport some think is not real.
You watch your damn mouth,
I would
Dan
never
Levitard.
Say that out loud. I take what? It back immediately with humble apologies. Adnan Virk is here with us now, and I want to talk to him about just how this came to be and how excited he was and how nervous he was and everything else. So, Adnan, thank you for being on with us. Tell me about the night and tell me how all of that came to be.
Sure thing, Dan. It's great to be with you guys again. I would have paid money to see all of your reactions, and congrats to Mike Ryan, who was the first one to text me on Saturday afternoon when some reports were surfacing And I was under a very strict gag order, and I said, God, I can't wait to text Mike back. And then Dan came off the top rope and also texted me. So it's great for Metal Arc Media, and it's great that we can all now talk about this publicly. Quite simply, this is the case, Dan. Our South Beach sessions was so riveting. It was so engrossing that WWE heard this and said, you know what, we've got to get this guy involved. If he's the kind of guy that at 12 years old is stealthily watching Bad Lieutenant, clearly he's the kind of guy that can be one of the voices of Monday Night Raw. So I owe it all to you guys. And, of course, all the appearances on with Stugatz and Stupidity, they go, all right, if this guy loves tennis this much, just wait until he gets a hold of Drew McIntyre. I mean, hey, you think you'd like Roger Federer, get a hold of Bobby Lashley. So it's been a really cool experience, but all kidding aside, it began back in late last year when Michael Cole, who's the voice of SmackDown, also is in charge of all the talent for WWE. He was talking to my reps and said, you know, who's someone who could be interested in WWE, something different. And Matt Olson suggested my name. He said, okay, it's an intriguing name. Has he done anything like this? Okay, he's done some boxing for DAZN. Okay, send that to us. Great. And then Cole called me in January. He said, listen, we'd love to have you fly down and do an audition. And you know this, Dan, that the key in life is to be opportunistic, right? Everyone says hard work and integrity, dedication, opportunistic. When the opportunity comes, you say, yes, absolutely. I'd love to try this. Why not? Let's go. So I went down to the audition in early February, cloaked in secrecy, of course, and I had a blast. And one of the fun things about it was, how do you prep for this? So I went to the website and WWE.com, and they gave me a few matches to call. So then I was obviously diving into SmackDown and Raw, and I made it clear, listen, as a kid, rabid fan, naturally, like all of us, over time, I had moved away. You know, I've got kids, I've got other responsibilities, so that's fine. You understand the product. I said, yes, I do. And I was willing to obviously put in the work to learn more about, you know, today's generation. So I called a few matches, and just as if a young Miami boy wants to work for the Hurricanes one day, he called a few quarters from a Hurricanes game. Sure thing. I'm calling previous matches. I then interview a couple of the stars backstage, Big E and Seth Rollins, two of Mike Ryan's favorites. And afterwards, someone comments to me, you know, hey, you got a great look to you. And I said, well, that's not the same thing as calling someone good looking. What does that mean? And they said, but you have a good height. And I said, for the first time ever in my life, someone has said being 5'8 is a victory. And I said, what do you mean? They said, it's good if you're smaller because it makes everyone else around you bigger. And I thought, you know, me and Tim Kirchner have been ridiculed our entire lives. So many times you just sit or stand next to Rick Sutcliffe and Mark Mulder and Dan Plesac and say, okay, can you raise your chair a little bit? No, we can't. There's nothing else we can do. But now finally being a small guy is a good thing. So a few weeks later, they said, all right, we'd like to offer the job. Other people had auditioned. They liked what I'd offered. And then became the momentous challenge, which I don't think people realize where we are in society right now, February 26th, when I got the call, hey, we're still dealing with COVID. How is Adnan Virk going to be flying all over the place for Raw, which currently, for those unaware, is set up in Florida? How is this going to happen with COVID protocols for Major League Baseball, which is my primary full-time job, salary, benefits, et cetera? How am I going to get the allowance to just be off Sunday nights, fly there Monday, et cetera? So thankfully, all of that came together. And then the key was just to keep it quiet, which I was able to do. And Monday morning, the world was shocked. And I just wished, and honestly, I would have paid money for guys like you and Mike and Stu and Roy and everybody just to see the collective faces.
But we were happy. You would have just seen joy across our faces. Like, we all grew up with wrestling. I don't know. Tell us the emotion of it for you. Like, what kind of wrestling kid were you? Like, why is this a job? Why is this not just another broadcasting gig?
Sure. That's a great question. So I remember growing up in Canada. I mean, anybody who knows Canadians, it is a huge audience for, at the time, WWF. And WrestleMania 6, which was at SkyDome, I mean, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior was as big as it gets. Like, I remember being a Hulkamaniac, and I had the shirt, and I was tearing it, and Demolition, my favorite tag team. And, I mean, that whole era, you know, whether it's Jimmy Superfly, Snuka, you know, Tito Santana, Coco Beware, you name it, right? Anybody who was my age was rabid about it. And I remember going to the audition and thinking to myself, and I talked a lot about my family and my upbringing with you on that South Beach sessions, but I said, you know, my brother and I used to always watch this. Imagine if we were watching it, and then Dad was actually commentating it. Like, rather than working in the store and grinding out 80-hour weeks, no, Dad was actually an announcer. How cool would that be? And a part of me thought this, Dan. Ben Affleck got roasted for playing Batman, right? Everyone's destroyed him in Justice League. And he said, you know what? I don't care, because at my son's birthday party, I showed up as Batman. And no one can take that away from me. And it was an incredible moment. And I thought to myself, family is everything. As the proud father of four boys, at the very least, they are more excited about this than anything I have ever done. God willing, they are going to be at WrestleMania with their dad watching a match like this, and they're going to lose their minds. And at the very least, even if I'm a colossal failure, which could be happening, the kids are going to love it. So it's worth it.
That is a great attitude. People on the internet are cruel. Wrestling fans are crazy, Adnan. Like, they're coming for you. If you are imperfect, they will see it, and they will be mean. May you keep that attitude.
And here's the trick, Dan, because Michael Cole has said to me after the first night, and he gave constructive criticism, he gave positive feedback, he gave things to work on. He said, you have to make me one promise. And he said, by the way, no one listens to this. I said, what's that? He said, please don't pay any attention to social media. I said, okay. He said, no, I'm going to repeat that because our audience, as you just said, Dan, is ferociously loyal and people don't like change. And who is this interloper coming over from MLB Network and formerly ESPN, and he doesn't know this, and he doesn't know that, and I want, et cetera. He goes, so you're not going to do that. I said, okay. You know what happened? I swear to God, I followed his advice, but other people felt compelled to tell me what social media was saying. I don't want to know. I just said, I don't want to know.
Yes.
I come on my wife, okay, so this tweet said this, and this, no, I don't want to know this. No, but he crushed you for this, and this guy was really mad at you. I said, okay. And then I called my mom last night. And she goes, oh, your dad and I were checking your Twitter. I said, Mom, are you crazy? What are you doing? They're gonna massacre me. Don't do that, please. It was crazy.
Your positivity is something that absolutely can be a breath of fresh air in this cruel sort of place where people are analyzing what it is that you do for a living. I love the part of your story, Adnan. Being short absolutely helps you. 5'8", they want the guy, the serious journalist with credibility going up there. My
Doesn't
God,
help.
Those guys are giant. Those guys are so big while they talk to the top of your head. How scared were you on Monday night? How nervous were you? When's the last time? You're a very good broadcaster. Baseball Tonight is as hard to do as anything in broadcasting, and you handled it with grace. Like, how scared were you?
The honest answer is this, Dan. Most of the day, and this is completely my own fault, I was too busy fielding all these messages. So, like, I'm one of these people who has great anxiety about, you know, returning every text and tweet and DM and email. So Mike Ryan kicked it off Saturday. You followed shortly after. So when the story actually broke and they said, okay, you can respond to people Monday at 9 a.m., I already had like 23 people to take care of. And then it was just an avalanche and an onslaught. And I told my parents, as I promised myself, I'm going to do this for an hour. I'm just going to go. Like, it's fine. People, your friends, it's okay. They're just calling to say congratulations, how this happened. Like, you can text them afterwards. But I have this, like I said, this agita about just having that inbox clean. So I was, I guess you could say rightfully or wrongfully, in a good way, I was so immersed in saying thank you that I probably should have been more nervous. I made sure to still get to the gym. I said, get these endorphins out, get a little exercise in. And then we got there and tried to prepare as much as possible. But I'll be honest, I wasn't particularly nervous. At one point, you know, someone said to me, you seem kind of nervous early. I said, I wasn't nervous. I was tentative. I said, I would describe the word as tentative. The first 10 to 15 minutes, just a little bit unsure of myself. As you said, Dan, never having done this, it's a three-man booth. I just met these guys. Hey, like when I'm doing Baseball Tonight, and that's a great example you bring up because I said it to a friend of mine. Tim Kirchen and Eduardo Perez and I would spend hours upon hours in the green room watching baseball, cracking jokes, learning about each other's backstories, our families, our kids, et cetera. So when we'd go call a game together, it could not have been easier. With Byron Saxton, Corey Graves, two guys who are tremendous professionals, and I'm telling you, they are outstanding because they were jumping in and saving me left and right. We really didn't get that chance to bond yet. So, you know, afterwards I was talking to Corey, and he goes, listen, if this was actually on the road, you learn a lot in the car trips, and this move means this, and this move is that, and it was hopefully over time that'll happen. But honestly, Dan, I wasn't particularly nervous. I was excited. I was certainly aware of the moment, and I was not aware of what was going to happen. To make this clear, Mike knows this because he was watching it all. When Drew McIntyre hit the table, I did not know that was going to happen. You can see my face if you watch it. I was terrified that my phone was shattered. And as they told me in the commercial break, make sure you grab your phone next time and pull the cord and grab the headset because they wanted this to be as realistic as possible, and I didn't know it was coming. So that moment in particular, I think, definitely stuck out.
Adnan, did anyone tell you you did a good job?
Well, I think definitely from friends and family, it was like, hey, you look great. I love the pinstripe suit. I'm like, thanks. I'm like, off the phone. Cool. You look like you were having fun. What I noticed is this, Stu, and this is kind of interesting. You guys know this. If you can have one or two good moments, then people seem to focus on that. So somebody tweets at a link of where I had a one line about Riddle and his bicycle. our scooter, excuse me, and I made a joke about having a bicycle and a man's transportation. And all of a sudden, they go, oh, that was great. What a great moment. And you go, yeah, but I made this mistake. No, but that was great. I don't know about the other stuff. I saw that was great. So I guess there's some twisted lesson in this, that if there's one or two good moments, if Jim Nantz struggles in the Masters, but he has a beautiful final call of the final putt, and, you know, the land of the rising sun has their own favorite son, great. That's all people will remember. Maybe not all people, certainly not the rabid diehards, but those who are, you know, average fans, or at least those who are fans of yours are going to remember. So I did have friends and family saying good job, and I did ask them, like, critically, especially the fans who are huge WWE fans. They said, listen, if you had been a disaster, we would have said to you, like, hey, chin up. It's okay. You still got Levitard. You still got GM Shuffle. You still got MLB. Like, it's okay. Like, it didn't work out. They'll get rid of you. It's okay. And thankfully, nobody in the inner circle said those words.
Can you explain to us what's happening in your headset during the match? How many people are barking orders? What are you hearing?
So those stories are certainly legendary. Kevin Dunn's our producer. He's the one guiding us through. And the good news, at least for the first little stretch, is Michael Cole, again, who's the voice of SmackDown, who's been doing this as of next year for 25 years, was there with me. So imagine there's a young guy trying to start up in radio in Miami, and Dan Le Batard not only runs the network, but he's also one of the on-air hosts. And then Dan Le Batard is in the commercial breaks helping this young host, saying, okay, that was good. Keep doing that. Hey, try not to do this. This appears to be a verbal crutch. Let's do less of this. Okay. And that's what Cole was doing, which was invaluable to have him coaching you there. And I think it's really important, Dan. There's some people who don't like that, right? And they just, you know, for better or for worse, they just don't want the feedback. And I said, if you were an actor on Broadway and you made a couple of flubs and no one tells you, and then after the show they said, okay, you know, I know you love The Merchant of Venice, but Shylock would never do this, never do this, never do this. And you go, God, there's nothing I can do about it now. In the moment, if someone says, hey, correct yourself, you said this, or Bobby Lashley, Hurt Lock, like whatever it is, I'm like, why wouldn't I want that resource? I thought it was very helpful to have him, because he was saying it in a very blunt manner, but in a manner which I think all of us know, if you want feedback, it's going to be critical at times. But he was also being supportive, saying, hey, good job there. Do more of that. Excellent job. So it was a little bit of both.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
It is impossible not to like Adnan Virk, his enthusiasm, his decency, his energy, his positivity. And if you want to support the things that Adnan Virk is going to be bringing to Metal Lark Media, tell them real quick. I want to talk some movies with you here, but tell them real quick how to get you right now, Adnan, so that we can increase your following here as part of the Le Batard and Friends Network that is going to be expanding here in the coming months.
I appreciate it, Dan. So the TV work, MLB Network, NHL Network, podcasting with GM Shuffle on Cadence 13 Cinephile. I just released the latest episode, which was a very deep dive into the Ken Burns documentary, 6 hours on Hemingway, which I found incredibly absorbing. And I would love to talk to you and people like John Skipper, who are very literate and care about these things. So that's the beauty of having Cinephile. I can just bloviate for hours on end. And I also talked to this director named Brad Furman, a new movie called City of Lies, starring Johnny Depp and Forest Whitaker. It's about the murders of Biggie and Tupac, while they're still unsolved. So that latest episode of Cinephile, which is coming soon to Metal Arc. I mean, this is obviously, we've made the announcement, so I'll be with you guys on the platform sooner rather than later. NFL stuff on the zone, and of course now WWE Monday Night Raw.
How was the Whitaker Depp movie? Because I saw it didn't get a very good Rotten Tomatoes rating, and Depp is not real easy to hire at the moment. He seems a bit crazed. How was it?
So I've always wondered this, Dan. You know, how hard is it to separate the actor from real life? And generally, I can do it. I mean, generally, I'll say, okay, you know, I'm just going to focus on the art, not the artist. But in this instance, I did find it a little troubling, I'll be honest, because I just read an article about Johnny Depp, and the Hollywood Reporter and all the accusations against him from Amber Heard and text messages he sent to friends. And I said, it's a little hard to separate this now. Like, I've learned too much about it, which is why the actors I most adore and Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in the 70s famously never did Johnny Carson, never did print interviews. They said, no, we don't want people to know too much about us, because then you're going to say, well, Frank Serpico doesn't seem realistic because I know Al Pacino would never have a pet hamster. Like, there's just no way. So when I'm watching Johnny Depp, especially if he's trying to be a kind and decent, intrepid person, I'm like, yeah, but what about this stuff? So I think if you like that subject matter, I think you'll enjoy the film. Personally, I find, I don't want to say it's been done to death, but there's been a lot of Biggie and Tupac stuff. I think it's tough to kind of cut through the noise and say, why is this unique? Why is this different? Why is this special? But I quite enjoyed Brad Furman. He's a very engaging guy, a director who's very passionate about it. And I liked his previous film, which is called The Infiltrator with Bryan Cranston.
Billy, I wanted to get you in here to talk to Adnan about De Niro, because I felt like you gave some blasphemous De Niro opinions that if Adnan had heard, if he wouldn't have joined Metalark Media if he had heard these opinions. Go ahead and tell him what you said the other day about De Niro.
I mean, blasphemous opinions is a bit strong. I was just wondering, and I ask aloud, and it wasn't an opinion, it was more of a query I was asking. I said, so Robert De Niro is like a tough, respected guy, huh? Because I just know him as like an old person and like dirty grandpa. So this is someone people were afraid of at a time?
Yeah, that is blasphemous, Billy. I understand what you're saying.
It's a question.
It's a query. It's not a criticism, but yes, in answer to your question, if you watch Raging Bull, and in fact, there's a new book I'm going to go purchase. I just read about it in the Hollywood Reporter. It's $138. It's a very specific price. I'm not sure why it is that price.
For a book?
But it is a it is a voluminous coffee table book with like special excerpts and anecdotes.
Man, Metalark is paying.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You're right, Dan. Before, I'm like, I can't afford that book. And I'm like, wait, Metalark's cooking me up. I'll expense this, right? That's not an issue. Billy, if you look, and I'm going to read that book, and I'm going to tell you all about it, but he was in the ring. He's getting hit left and right. Like, Jake LaMotta, who was an actual boxer, was there training with De Niro and said, this guy could legitimately be in the ring. This guy isn't an actor. He would finish the day's shoot and then get let out a couple miles away from the hotel and run like Rocky would. Like, he said he was so dedicated and as a tough guy. There's no question. He's intimidating. Now, Billy, I've met him, and he's wonderful. Like I described him as avuncular because he's so charming. Ooh. And as you said, a little bit older now. But no doubt, if he was 42 looking at, I mean, put on the pole, Guillermo, he'd get right in your face. There's no question about it.
was supposed to say that, though, you know.
How much of the documentary on Hemingway have you seen? Because he would be canceled today, right? Hemingway would be canceled.
Oh, my God. I watched the whole thing, Dan, and I emailed with our boss, John Skipper, about it. And I said, John, one of these days you're going to have to explain Faulkner to me. And I don't mean to typecast you, just as a white Southerner, I'm assuming you are a fan of Faulkner. He said, yes, happy to have that conversation with you. And John had seen the first episode, and he said, I loved how the Kansas City Star just, they nailed that style of writing. And as you know, this is a great writer. Just the economy and the precision and the brevity, I just think it's remarkable how he was so diligent. How he said, you know, unlike a Faulkner or, you know, Joyce, my books can be read in high school. You can understand these. And it's all about subtext. I write it. He said, I think one of the quotes is, I write it inebriated, but I edit it sober. Like, I'll put all this stuff out there, and then I'm just cutting and scathing. But to your point, the first episode shows the brilliance of the writing, how he revolutionized writing. Tobias Wolff, the author, says, Hemingway changed all the furniture in the room, and now we have to sit in it. But as a person, he was deeply troubled. He was married 4 times. He had 3 boys. He was a negligent father. He was verbally abusive. He was cruel to friends. I mean, it's and as we know, that is the stuff of great drama. Nobody wants to see a book or a movie about a guy who's just a sweet dad and a wonderful guy, a very doting father, wrote some good books. Hemingway was living the life, and I think in today's world, you're right, the misogyny and the cruelty wouldn't play well. Having said that, what I loved about the documentary was there was elements of sensitivity to him, romanticism, and real tragedy, that you know, the ending when he commits suicide. 4 members of the 8 in his family, you know, died by their own hands. And the amount of wounds he suffered in the war and the alcoholism, it took a terrible toll on him. But I really want you to see it, Dan. I think you'd find it remarkable.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about it, and it's going to be something that I immerse myself in soon, because Ken Burns is almost incapable. He'll make a slow documentary, but he can't make a bad or uninteresting documentary. But before we get you out of here, I just want to play for you what I believe to be the gold standard for sports talk radio across the decades here. This is from Mad Dog Sports Radio. Chris Russo is really mad because today's players don't play the way that yesterday's players do. And I just want, as a closing nod here to everything in entertainment that you're about, Adnan, for you to tell me what your thoughts are on this.
Let's go to Pat Riley. Hey, Pat, no Ewing tonight. I know you're playing the Bulls and Jordan, but Ewing's going to pass because his knees are sore. Ewing, who played every night when he was freaking, I was there many a night in many a locker room when Ewing had a freaking ice his knees. Talk to the media every game, sit in front of that locker room every game, sat there with his ice on his knees, and he played night after night after night after night, played his ass off night after night. You think I tell you something right now? Ewing wanted to play. How about Kraus telling Jordan somewhere in the 98 season when Pippen decided to take a pass with that late surgery, as we all saw there in the documentary? How about Kraus telling Mike, you know, Mike, we're in Sacramento tonight. You know, you played last night. You know, let's take a blow. You know what Jordan would do? You know what Jordan would do? My God almighty! You couldn't rip that uniform off him! That's basketball! That's what he would do. He'd freaking play! How about Paul Silas? How about Havlicek? How about Havlicek? Ran 8 miles every game. Havel played from 1963 to 1979. 16 freaking years. Every single game. You think Havlicek's taking a night off? Havlicek! Twice the player that any of these guys are. You know how great Havlicek was? That makes me sick. And you guys rip Cousy. You know how many games Cousy played? You know, he's taking trades to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and run into the ball game because the trade is late and they played the night before in Boston. And he go out there and play 45 minutes. How about freaking Durant say, you know what? I'm playing. Get the hell out of here. You know, Durant, instead of fighting Michael Rappaport, how about Durant tell freaking Nash and his freaking owner who's paying him $40 million and the GM Marks, who's a freaking out of the Popovich school, how about Durant just say, give me the goddamn uniform! I'm playing tonight!
Well, listen, Danny, it brings it full circle because unlike Hemingway, he is not terse. He does not believe in brevity or economy or efficiency. He is not going to get cheated in those fields. It makes me think of how Stugatz has famously said he became a better broadcaster when he stopped imitating Mad Dog.
How about Paul Doggy. Silas? How about Havlicek? That's basketball!
I'm surprised you didn't yell, Havlicek stole the ball! Like, he just started channeling Johnny Most and started screaming.
My God almighty!
That's a good wrestling call, by the way.
My yes. God almighty?
My yeah. God almighty!
Yes. Do you have a signature call you're waiting to unleash on the world that you've been working on?
No, Billy. I said for week one, I just wanted to get in there and, like Dan was saying, try to get comfortable and learn names and get the email set up on my phone and where's catering, that kind of stuff. Now that I've done it, I'm going to start to put together a list of things that I would like to say. I'm curious how they're going to go over because you get feedback immediately. So I think we'll, I don't want to say be tentative, but I'll test the waters. And I know what people are expecting. And I promise you, listen, the amount of tweets and texts that I got, hey, please drop a welcome to Tangier. I go, okay, if I find an opportune moment, I promise I'll get it.
All right. Yes.
That's awesome.
How about this? Lashley goes crashing through your broadcast table and subscribe to Cinephile wherever you get your podcast.
Mike, you heard me get one Cinephile in. We kept promoting nobody. And yes, I'm one of those. Like, you know what? I'm going to sneak it in there. No one said anything, so let's get more Cinephile. I'll get it in there.
And then it's early, but I'm thinking maybe week 4 or 5, once you've really gotten your feet wet, you open up Raw with, hey, guys, it's Billy. And then we see where it goes from there.
Adnan.
And then you just appear. Billy's like Rey Mysterio. He just pops up behind the desk. I'm like, oh, my God, it's Billy.
Congratulations, buddy. We're happy for you.
Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate the love. I know it's genuine and sincere. And like I said, your audience is about as rabid an audience as the WWE audience. So it's been quite a couple of weeks, and I appreciate you guys always. And seriously, Dan, watch the Hemingway doc. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll also watch it. Yeah.
Just one note. They like to be called the WWE Universe. You may want to clean that one up.
No, Mike, you're right. Okay, you're right. WWE Universe. I'm huge fans of them. They're absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you, Adnan.
All right, thanks.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.